we open up with a discussion about the Parah Aduma. And what is interesting is the following. The Torah tells us in the beginning, those chukas haTorah asher tziva Hashem leimor, a person becomes tamei meis, he becomes contaminated through some kind of interaction with a dead body, they become tamei meis. The Torah teaches us that the way that they remove their status of being tamei meis is through the Parah Aduma. A little bit complicated exactly what we do with the Parah Aduma, but somehow it is through the Parah Aduma that we're going to be able to purify a person who was tamei meis. On one level, it's hard to speak at all about the function or exactly how Parah Aduma works. Rashi writes in the beginning of Parshas Chukas that it's the Satan v'umos ha'olam, monas Yisrael, lomer ma mitzvah azos, were attacked sometime because of this mitzvah. It doesn't make that much sense. So Rashi quotes here from Chazal, gezerehi milfanai, ein lecha rishos l'hara achareha, that this is a mitzvah that a person cannot really, should not ponder. It's a mitzvah that a person should try to avoid thinking about too much because it really is something which doesn't make that much sense. What's one of the rayas that's often brought for why it doesn't make sense? Many of them parshan point out is because Parah Aduma is metaras hatameim and metameis hatahorim. Much as Parah Aduma is wonderful in that it's able to purify those who are tamei meis, the reverse also happens. It has the ability to be metame those it is metame those who were tahor. In that sense, you do have a group of rishonim based on different midrashim chazal. They're not going to speak that much about any of the reasoning behind Parah Aduma, because Parah Aduma is beyond us. It is really a chok, and we can't really understand it, you know, that much at all. The Re'im even writes that this is a unique bederach klal by chukim. This we saw earlier in the year with the Rambam and Ravuchim, that most chukim you really can try to understand, says the Re'im. The Pshat and Rashi is dafka this, you're not allowed to explore. A dafka this, you should not look into at all. What's interesting is that even though Chazal, on the one hand, are pretty clear, a person should not look into it that much, you do have a variety of insights, you do have a variety of ideas to give us some understanding as to what exactly is going on with Parah Aduma. Some of these are less al derech ha-nigla, some of these are more al derech ha-nister, or deeper ideas in Machshava. We'll try to mention two of them. One of them, I think, is more well-known, one of them probably less well-known. What's interesting is that even though I think some of the farshim should point this out, even though Rashi in the beginning writes that Parah Aduma is a chok, which we can't understand, Rashi continues, though, later on in the Parsha, and Rashi writes, let me see if I can find it quickly. Don't think I can. Rashi writes later on that really it serves as a kapara for Chet Ha'ega. Rashi writes that the reason why we offer a Parah Aduma is because it has the ability to, it is some sort of a kapara for Chet Ha'ega. Okay. What's interesting is as follows. The Ramah has a sefer called Torah Sa'ola. The Ramah and Torah Sa'ola, a lot of different Kabbalistic ideas. So he has in Chela Gimel, in Perek Chamisha Veshishim, or 65. The Ramah has a long discussion about different ideas about Parah Aduma. He opens up by saying, well, I know Chazal, quote, based on the Pasuk in Koheles, that you shouldn't try to understand Parah Aduma that much. But he writes, you know, you have enough people who have gamani emshoch achareim le'echo, that there are enough people who have tried to give pshat them, so I'll give a pshat also. So he quotes one pshat. He has a bunch of different ideas there, one which is very fascinating. He writes that Parah Aduma is not a kapara for the chet ha'egel, but rather it's a kapara for the chet of Adam HaRishon. That Adam HaRishon messed up, and that Parah Aduma serves as some sort of a kapara for him. Where do you see that? So he says, it's al derech drush or al derech nister, he writes, that Parah Aduma, Para is milashon pri, the fruit, aduma of Adam, the fruit of Adam. That Adam messed up, the para aduma. If you look at the continuation of the pasuk, asher lo aleha le'ol, that Adam harishon, the para aduma, Adam, who ate the pri of Adam, Adam did not accept upon himself the old Torah yet, and that's why Adam is someone who messed up. In that sense, suggests the Ramah that the real kapara of Parah Aduma is here not as an atonement for Chet Ha'egel, but rather as an atonement for the Chet of Adam HaRishon. Let's just pause on what we've said so far so we can try to deepen a little bit. On the one hand, Parah Aduma is really a chok. Parah Aduma is which we can't understand, and so says Rashi. It's something which it may even be inappropriate to try to understand. However, there are different midrashim and different rishonim, achronim, that attempt to give hasbeirim as to give us a little bit of insight into what's really going on with Parah Aduma and why exactly what it's here to accomplish. It's not just something which purifies you from being Tamei Meis, but suggests Rashi in one day from Chazal, it's really something which comes to be a kapara for Chet Ha'egel. And according to the Ramban, Torah Sa'ola, and you have hints of this, I believe, in the Ramban, in the beginning of this week's parsha, based on the Gemara and Bava Basra and Daf Yud Zayin, that the Parah Aduma really comes as an atonement for the Chayav Adam Harishon. The Maharal has a very basic question, and it's a question which I think is very yesodistic and worthwhile considering. What's Pshat in that Rashi? He asks it on Rashi. I'll say it a little bit differently. There's no Isser to become Tamei Meis. For the majority of Rishonim, so for a Kohen it's Usser, for a Nazir it's Usser, for a regular Yisrael, there's no Isser at all to become Tamei Meis. So what are we talking about, how Parah Aduma serves as a kind of Kapara for something? A person who's Tamei Meis, Lav Dafka, did anything that was at all wrong. Adiraba, being Tamei Meis is often a part of a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Avelas, the mitzvah of helping to bury the dead, etc. Those are all things that are that are chiyuvim that we have upon ourselves. So why exactly is there a need for some sort of a kapara? Why is there a need for any atonement when it comes, this guy's Tamei Meis, he didn't do anything wrong. Where's the atonement really? Why is it there at all? So the Maharal suggests the following pshat, and it will, I think, give us a little bit of insight. The Maharal points out that the Gemara Nevodazara and Daphei tells us that had it not been for the Chet HaEgel, man would have been immortal. We never would have died. It's Chet HaEgel, that Chet, is what contaminated us and ensured that we were going to become people who were going to be mortal. We were going to be people who were going to be, eventually, who were going to die. Suggests the Maharal, that's why Chet HaEgel serves as a kapara. Chet HaEgel serves as a kapara. An individual who becomes Tamei Meis did absolutely nothing wrong. But the idea of Tumas Meis, the idea that a person, that what's Tumas Meis, it's a state, it's a function of there being death in this world. And that requires kapara. That requires kapara of Klal Yisrael, that we are required on some level to perform, to get some kapara for the fact that we brought Misa into this world. Lichora, that's also the pshat, in why it's a kapara for the Chet of Adam HaRishon. The Chet of Adam HaRishon, this is the Gemara Bava Basra Daf Yud Zayin, also caused there to be Misa in the world. And because it caused there to be Misa in the world, so that's why it does require a bit of kapara. So on the one hand, the person who becomes Tamei Meis did nothing wrong, and the person who becomes Tamei Meis doesn't need any kind of kapara. Nevertheless, why do Chazal understand there's some sort of a kapara there? Because that even though I had nothing wrong to become Tamei Meis, I was part. Our Am Yisrael is somewhat responsible. Adam Rishon initially, and man, Adam Rishon, and then Klal Yisrael, Chet HaEgel, are responsible for there being death that is here. Let's chaz what we spoke about and maybe try to add one general nekuda. This is the beginning parsha Chukas. It's a parsha which is very important for Tamei Mitzvos in general. It is one, again, mahal, number one, we can't understand it. Not only that, but Chazal seems to indicate, the way Rashi quotes it, it's inappropriate to try to understand it in any deep level. It is just what it is and accept it as such. It doesn't really make that much sense. Mataras, Hatmeyim, Matamit, Tahorim, and leave it as that. Nevertheless, we see that Rashi brings in that it does have some understanding. We are here to be Matame, to be Mechaper for Chet HaEgel. And Ramah understands that it's also able to be Mechaper for the Chet of Adam HaRishon. Maharal gives us a good understanding. Why would we need a kapara? Why is there any idea of a kapara here? The Maharal suggests that even though each individual, it could be, didn't do anything wrong, but the notion of Misa is the result of Chet. And therefore, we do want to have a little bit of a form of kapara taking place here. What I just want to point out, which I think is an interesting insight, these ideas, aside from being very important as far as a general topic of Tamei HaMitzvos, that even with Chukim, and even with the Chok of Parah Aduma, there can be some reason. That in and of itself is significant. But there's, I think, a built-in idea here also. Sometimes when it comes to a person assessing whether they need Kapara or don't need Kapara, so part of what's built in here is that it's not just a question of each individual. It's not just that me on my own, so maybe I didn't do anything wrong and you could leave it at that. Part of the message of Parah Aduma, according to both Rashi's Pshat, according to the Pshat of the Ramah, is that we still want there to be a degree of kapara, even though I as an individual did not do that much. I'm part of mankind, I still feel the reverberations of the Chet of Adam HaRishon, and therefore I want to try to achieve a certain kind of kapara. That we, as a member of Klal Yisrael, we partook in Chet HaEgel, and therefore I feel some of the impact of Chet HaEgel. The Nefesh HaChaim and Sha'al speak a lot about that, the impact of Chet of Adam HaRishon, and the impact of Chet HaEgel. Sometimes when we search for kapara, the question is not only a question of, did I do something wrong, and therefore, what do I require kapara? Sometimes, even if in a narrow sense, a person did nothing wrong, we are still striving to get back to a certain point, and we're still part of either mankind in the case of Marishon, or Bnei Yisrael in the case of Chedei Egel, and as being part of that collective, we're going to strive to whatever extent possible to achieve a different kind of kapara. If you look in the Ramah, just put this out if you have time for it, does go through a lot of this and go through a lot of different halachos as far as why it's not the Kohen Gadol but the Sagan of the Kohen. He goes through a lot of different halachos to try to explain these Ramazim in a bit of a deeper way, but hopefully this gave us some insight into the unique status of Parah Aduma. Shkaya, guys, have a wonderful night.